Good evening, church. Are you happy to be here this evening? If you're happy to be here, jam your hands together for the Lord. We thank God for bringing us again to church this evening, listening to His word. Let's bow our heads to pray. Speak to the Lord that, oh God, my coming today will not be in vain. Meet me at the point of my need. Lord, we pray that you minister your word to us, yourself, in Jesus' name. Open our eyes of understanding and let the word shine light onto our path in Jesus' name. At the end of the service today, we'll have every reason to glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. This month has been tagged Grace for Greatness. And you agree with me that we've been listening to messages along the lines of grace, along the lines of greatness. What does it mean to be great? Some people pray, they say, I want to be great. Can somebody be great without a purpose? I'm sure it's not possible. If you want to be great, that means you're ready to impact so many lives. I think last week Tuesday, Pastor Adeni spoke to us about the similarities between grace and favor. If you're in church or if you listen online, last week Tuesday, he was talking about grace as God is the one that gives grace to be great. It is not something you merit. For example, let's take a look at Elon Musk. Recently they said Elon Musk is the richest man on earth. Is worth about $230 billion. But do you know that the idea where Elon Musk is profiting today was created by his great-grandfather, and he died a pauper? He went into his archives, dug up some of those things that the great-grandfather was working on, and God gave him the grace to bring those things into fruition today. And today, they say Elon Musk is the richest man on earth. He solved a problem. I'm sure it was the grace of God. Now, Pastor Denny said something about favor. Favor actually means that God can show favor, men can also show you favor, but it requires something from you. Probably a good deed, something, a good character. That people will say, he's of a good character. He's a nice person. He labored and he worked for this thing. Let us show him this favor. But grace just finds people. It is only God that gives grace. It is only God that gives grace. Now let's open our Bibles to John chapter 1. I want to read from verse 16 to 17. In verse 16 it says, "And his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." 17. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So that means if at one point or the other you've professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've given your life to Him, you've confessed your sins, you've turned away from your bad behaviors, that means Jesus came with grace from God to us on earth. So this evening I'll be talking to us on what I titled Grace for Greatness, Kingdom Secrets for Success. Kingdom Secrets for Success. So that means there are some things in the kingdom that they are just natural. Once you do them, you are bound to be successful. You are bound to be great if you desire to be so. It is not everything that answers to prayer. It is not everything that is prayer. For example, you are hungry. There is food in the house. You have a gas cooker. You have everything, and then you are praying in the Holy Ghost, you are speaking in tongues so that food can jump on your table. God won't answer that prayer because it is also required of you to do something for you to be fed. The food is there. How to cook the food is there. Even if you don't know what to cook, you can go online and say, "How do I make eba?" I'm sure Google will answer you. You can say, "For how many minutes should I boil?" You know, some people cannot boil water. I'm sure you know. If you can boil water, raise up your hand. Let's do a test. Okay, sir. What's the boiling point of water? You see? Thank you very much, sir. Some people don't even know. They just say, the water is warm. Then they go and make a bar. Then the bar becomes lukewarm. It looks like Gary. 100 degrees Celsius, the water is boiling. And then you can make your eba. So, that means that it is not everything that answers to prayer. The man who sleeps morning, afternoon, and night and desires to be rich. How is he going to be rich? The Bible even says, go to the ants and study their way. They gather during the raining season. During the dry season. So that when the raining season comes, when they can't go out, they have more than enough to eat and to catch themselves. But some people will just sit down. They want everything to fall on their laps. Greatness doesn't just come for you if you're not prepared for it. The greatness of Abraham was divine and ordained by God. You know, there was a time God said, Abraham, stand up, leave where you are, and go into a country that I will show you. God has not even shown him. He just said, stand up and go. And Abraham did what? He obeyed. How many people today can implicitly believe God that way? If God says, go to Badon, go to Shaki, and go and walk. How many people can do that? They say, I should leave Ibadan. I should go to Shaki to go and walk. Maybe something is waiting there for you. You don't know. But people are not ready to do God's will. These are the days where people go with permissive will of God. They approach God with an option in their heart. They already know what they want to do. They've already done their algebra calculation to say, Eije, Eyoje, Timbashili, you know. So then they approach God and say, but God, you know, because of what is happening around the world, you know, they start to negotiate with God so that they can convince God to accept their own option. And then God gives them what they call permissive will of God. Grace versus favor. To be great, you must impact your world. You can't be selfish and think you will be great. It is not possible, because it is the grace of God that gives greatness. And God can only give you that greatness if he sees the genuine desire that you are going to impact your world positively. Imagine if there was no vaccine for polio or for malaria or for COVID-19. Some people went into research and God inspired them and God gave them that wisdom and that knowledge to conjure together that vaccine that is containing this virus that we have today. Imagine that we are still under lockdown since last year. What would have happened? Imagine. So it tells you that for you to be great, you must be ready to impact your world. I will talk about one man. Everybody talks about China today. They say China is very great. I'm sure after America, China is the next economy. But do you know there is a man they call Mao Zedong, born 26 December 1893. He died September 9, 1976. He's a Chinese communist who was the founding father of the People's Republic of China, the China that you have today, the China that is bailing out Nigeria almost in everything, the China that is owning almost half of Africa now. Mao Zedong. In 1958, he launched what they call the Great Leap. The Great Leap was what revolutionized China's economy. China was an agrarian economy, but the Great Leap concept was what industrialized China. And practically, I can tell you that there is nothing in the world that is being manufactured that you will not get in China. There is human being. They've manufactured human being. The only thing is they can't breathe life into it. So it needs some machine, battery, and some other things to work. Now, greatness doesn't also come without pain. Do you know when it was transforming the economy of China, it was reported that about 55 million people died as a result of hunger? Because it said, this country is agrarian. I want to industrialize this country. And that happened between 1958 and 1962. So it tells you that greatness comes with sacrifices. So are you ready to pay those prices? When you say, I want to be great, don't just say it with your lip service. Don't just say it with levity. When you want God to bless you, are you the type that gives for God's work? Are you the type that supports anything that belongs to God? Because for God to give you that greatness, God must see that you have open hands and that you are ready to propagate His gospel. So let's quickly go to what are the secrets? The kingdom secrets to success. They are very simple. There are things you know, but peradventure maybe we've forgotten. Number one, I said unity. Unity is the state of being one. A whole or totality as combining all its parts into one. The state or fact of being united or combined into one as of the part of a whole system. Unification. Unity is very, very strong. I'll cite a case of the building of Babel. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 9. Can you please open Genesis chapter 11 for us, verses 1 to 9? When people on earth gathered together, and they said, we want to build a tower that will reach up to heaven. They resolved in their mind to say, we will build this tower, and that we, so that we can be communing with God, and be shaking God in the morning. At least we'll see Him in the morning. We'll say, ah, God, how are you? Good morning. This is what we need on earth. Can you please provide? Let manna fall from heaven. You know, and God, in verse 6, let me go to Genesis 11, verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. So even God knows that I cannot stop these people because of their unity. As long as they are united together to build a tower that will reach heaven, then I will not be able to stop them. So what did God do? He confounded their language, caused disunity. So you are here today as a family. You are here today. You are maybe in your place of work. You are always disunited. You are the odd one out. They will say something. You always have a reason to disagree with everybody without a better alternative. And you think that things will work for you. It doesn't follow. It is the law of nature. The Bible even says, wherever two or three are gathered together in His name. He said what? He said, dearest and in their midst. And imagine if God is present in our midst. Imagine the things that can happen. Imagine the miracles that you can wrought. Family unity can force the hand of God to perform expected miracle in your life. So most times, when things are not working for you in your family, check yourself. Are you united? Is it that the man says this and the woman just says, oh, okay, I've heard. You've heard, but you will do the opposite. Or when the wife gives an advice, the man says, I've heard. What does she know? Has she ever done it before? You don't even know. Maybe it was the Spirit of God that is suggesting to her at that particular time. But you discountenanced it. You felt she doesn't have the kind of experience I have. I'm a professor. She's just a BSc holder. What does she know? I've done researches all over the world. But guess what? In the place of unity, God respects it so much because He knows that people who are united, they can achieve almost anything that they set their mind to achieve. So please check yourself. Are you united with your partner? Are you united in your business? You have employees, maybe about 100, but then you see that they are always fighting each other. Don't you know you'll be the great loser when your employees are always fighting? They are never united to do one thing. How will they become productive? How would you be able to bring your market to the marketplace to sell? So unity is very, very important. God sanctioned it. Number two I want to talk about is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Please can you help us open 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 1. Love is that disposition of heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow men. From verse 1, do I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity? Charity here, when you see charity, just know it's love. I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2, and do I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and do I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity? I am nothing. Without love, you're nothing. Verse 3. And do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. That means it's not recognized before God. The next verse. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. So you are here. A brother just bought a car. Instead of you to go and pray for him so that your own too can come. You are saying, what did he buy? How much are they even selling the car? If I put 1 or 2 million together, I can buy it next week. You can buy it next week and you've not bought it already. Envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Some people, you know, because of little change that they have or whatever it is that God has blessed them with, forgetting the fact that it is the blessings of the Lord that make it rich without having sorrow, they start to puff up. Yes, I have arrived. I'm chief. Now, it's even common in Nigeria or Ibadan. Young guys, young men, the next thing you see in their name, Otumba this, Otumba that, everybody is Otumba these days. They will go and collect chieftaincy title. Of what purpose? You know, this is at the days where you see young men, they are even fighting to become king and rulers of towns. This day, people are naturally proud, puffed up. Next verse. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. So here we are saying, if you love, love means consider your neighbor in that position. What you don't want people to do to you, don't do it to another person. What you cannot tolerate from others, don't give it to others. That is love, considering the other person. To hate your fellow being is to hate God. If you cannot love your fellow human being, how then do you profess to love God? Have you ever been sick? No matter how much you have, no matter how much you have, your money will amount to nothing. I'm sure you know of our former governor, Governor Abiola Ajimobi, may he so rest in peace. He was a governor for 8 years. He left and he wanted to become a minister. Even all the work, all the money he has amassed, all the wealth he has accumulated, he even bought a Rolls Royce to open a new house. He never slept in that house for one day. That is all the money you have. So who are you to hate your fellow human being? Human being that you cannot create. Once the Lord takes away the breath from your mouth, everything is gone. So who are you? If you realize human imperfection, then you will know that no one is perfect. Hence, love is the perfection of the law. So why don't you just love? It is easy to love your neighbors. It is easy to love. If you say, if you don't love your neighbor, you don't love yourself. Because no man is an island. God has created us such that we will need each other. I remember the day I had fire incidents in my house. If I wasn't a nice person in my neighborhood, I'm sure the neighbors would just be looking at me. They say, I beg, don't leave him. But you can imagine in the middle of the night, the entire environment was agog. Everybody came out to say, what can we do? How can we help? That is love. If you don't show love, you cannot receive love. So I pray that God will give us the grace to love others as God has loved us, in Jesus' name. This way, you can unlock the secret of success. Because let me tell you, for you to be successful, it is somebody that God will send your way. It is one connection that will come your way. And that connection will not come if there is no love. For example, you are here today. Maybe somebody just come and say, okay, my place of work, we need somebody. But because of love, he can come around and say, I love this brother. We have this opportunity. Are you ready for this? And you might take it, and that might be the game changer for you. So my brother and my sister, do not have hate in your mind. Don't despise others. Love the creation of God because you can't create one. Number three, I said forgiving spirit. Some people don't forgive or they don't know how to forgive. In fact, I have seen someone say that forgiveness is not in his dictionary. And I was wondering, I said, are you God? If God can forgive man, then who are you to say forgiveness is not in your dictionary? Chapter 2. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. 1 John chapter 2. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. You know, some people, their business or their life looks like darkness is all over them. And they are wondering, they are praying. Let me tell you, you don't need prayer. Maybe there's somebody you've been holding in your mind. There's someone that you feel, I cannot forgive this person. These are some of the things that is holding down your prayers. David even forgave Saul. Do you know the gravity of what Saul did to David? If David can forgive him, why? So that his prayers or his testimonies will not be hindered. Jesus forgave the army that came. When he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, they cut down, his disciples cut down one of the army's ear and did this and that, wanted to defend Jesus. Jesus said, no, he picked up the ear, plastered it back, even prayed for them and said, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. So who are we to say we don't want to forgive? So if you want to avert darkness all around you, in your family, in your endeavors, in your business, you don't want the cloud of darkness to overshadow you, then you must have what they call forgiving spirit. Verse 10 says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Can you see that? That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. So that means if you hate your brother, statutorily, you abide in darkness. And you can imagine if you are always groping in darkness. When everybody is seeing opportunity, all you'll be seeing is roadblocks. All you'll be seeing is setbacks. All you'll be seeing is discouragement. All you'll be seeing is disadvantages. You will never move forward, because the Bible says he who loves his brother abides in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. That's what the Bible says. So why do you want to go 7 days fasting for doors to be opened, when you have somebody in your mind that you've locked in your mind and say, I cannot forgive this person? So if you like, go 21 days fasting. That prayer cannot be answered. Even the Bible says that if you come to the altar of God and you remember that you have a fault against one of your brother, he said, leave your prayer there. Go back and settle with that person. Then come and make your supplication. So it is not everything that you pray, fall down and die. You knock your head. They will say, shout the name of Jesus 15 times. Then you say, Jesus. You start counting your finger. Jesus, 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 15 times. Whereas you held somebody offended you, he stepped on your toe or your white shoe that you just bought, and say, don't you know how much I bought this shoe? It's designer. You are so this, you are that. And then because of that, you've picked offense. Every little thing offends you. So if you get offended now, when are you going to get offended again? Even the Bible says 70 times, 7 times. So if you now sit down and you are waiting for somebody to offend you 490 times in a day, it also shows that even you are jobless. That is the meaning. So forgive. That's what the Bible is telling us. Forgive and forget. It is very hard, but you can pray for the grace. Number four, I said faith. 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 You know, some people say they have faith, but they just have profession. They don't have faith. They only say it with their mouth. They really don't have faith. Some people don't. They just say, I have faith. Because the Bible says that if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move, and it will move. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Let me show you a demonstration of faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. You know what happened? They sent spies to the land. And Rahab felt she's an harlot. And she was like, she accommodated these spies. And then she told them to make her a promise that I know that God is with you, and eventually you will take over this land. But make me a promise that when you want to destroy this land, you will spare me and my household. And they made her a promise. But you know, she could decide not to believe that promise. She could say, these people, will they keep their words? But the Bible says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. So she held on to that promise they gave her. So today, when we read the word of God, when the Bible says, my God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus, do you actually believe that word? Or you now go and then do abracadabra. You steal somebody's money, or you change the figure, or you change your measurement because you want to make more profit. Do you believe that God can supply your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when you say you have faith, that means you are so resolute in your mind that this thing that God had said in his word, he is able to do it and he can perform it. And let me tell you, assuredly, God is not a man that he should lie. He sees the sincerity of your heart. If God knows that you are holding on to him in faith, God will never let you down. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Abraham believed by faith because he who promised is able to perform it. God told Abraham, I will make you fathers of nations. And he had no child. And then the wife suggested to him and said, go in unto my maid. Let's help ourselves. You know, they had their own option. And then he asked her, and God said, no, that is not my promise for you. And then he believed on the Lord. And today I'm sure Abraham is one of the greatest men of God that we can reference or refer to in anything that we do. Everybody wants to be the child of Abraham by faith. I pray that the Lord will build our faith and give us grace to believe in his words in Jesus' name. So my brothers and my sister, what I'm saying today is, in any situation you are passing through, in anything you are going through, believe in your heart. Because God says that, one, he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what our faith can carry. So let me tell you, anything you are going through, God knows that you have the capacity to withstand it. He said, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the blood of Jesus Christ. So in whatever situation, Boko Haram is fighting here, they are kidnapping there, there is economic downturn, dollar is 1,000, this is happening here. If you believe in him, you will be sustained in Jesus' name. Number five, I'll talk about confession. Confession. They say confession is possession. If you continue to say a particular thing often and often, before you know it, it becomes you. It becomes who you are. And it becomes your possession. So if you are the type that is always confessing negative, people are shouting, ah, this economy is hard. You too, you join them. They are saying this economy is hard. Before you know it, everything will be hard. But in that hard economy, people are buying cars every day. In that hard economy, people are traveling out every day. In this same hard economy, people are building houses. I'm sure when you go to various locations, you'll see houses springing up. Even on this Onireke Road, several buildings springing up. But the economy is hard. Sometimes when they were selling cement, 500 naira, some people could not build. Now that they are selling it almost 4,000, that's when some people are building. So stop confessing negatively to yourself. Confession is possession. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. This is the account of the 12 spies. In verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. They sent 12 spies to Canaan. Go and look at this place. The Lord has given this land to us. Out of 12, 10 came back and said, ah, we're like grasshoppers before them. They are sons of giants. They will hit us. They will kill us. They will do this and that. But two came back with a positive result and said, we are able to overcome it. And guess what? It was just that two that entered that promised land. Those who confessed that they were giants, they will kill them, they all died before they got to the promised land. You can see what confession can do. So if you believe, the servant of Elijah was screaming and said, Master, this host is much. Elisha prayed and said, God, open his eyes so that he can see that they that are with us are more than they that are with them. So if you have a positive confession, even if the situation is hard, even if the situation is bad, if it is terrible, I've seen people that on the dying bed, almost giving up the ghost, but because of positive confession, to say, I shall not die, but live, to proclaim the gospel of God. And they lived because of positive confession. So if you can just inculcate this habit, confess positively to yourself. Wake up in the morning, before you talk to anybody, confess positive things to yourself. Tell yourself that today I will be successful. That today as I'm going out, the Lord will bless me. Tell yourself that today no evil will befall me, neither will any plague come near my dwelling. If you confess positive things to yourself, in no time, positivities will be your energy and things will start to turn around for good for you in Jesus' name. From the multitude of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, how can you confess positive things. If you don't dwell on positive things, how can you confess positive things? If the things you digest are all negative, the kind of movies you watch, they are negative. There was a day my son came to me and he said, Daddy, I had a bad dream. I said, you'll be watching spooky things on the TV. All these cartoons that are scary, I told you to stop watching them. Because the things you watch are the things you see when you sleep. I said, okay, is that true? I said, yes, that is true. So, before you go to bed, go to YouTube and look for Bible story. Open it, watch it before you sleep, and you'll see that you'll be having positive dreams. That is how life is. It is garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you feed your mind with, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you confess positive things, as a result of the things you digest in your mind, you begin to experience positivities in all your ramifications in Jesus' name. Number six, I said giving and thanksgiving. Giving and thanksgiving. Some people, they believe that whatever they have, it is by their power. And because of that, they can't give. Even their time, they can't give it to God. Their time, they can't give it to fellow human beings. They can't help others at all. It is not right. Giving is a natural law that opens doors of blessings. They said the hand of the giver is always on top. The hand of the receiver, you always do like this to receive. But when you give, God will always bless you. God, so no matter how little, you remember in the temple when people were bringing tithes and offering and Jesus was looking at them. And that woman, that widow gave the only thing she had. And Jesus said she gave the most because she gave all that she has. So you should cultivate that habit of giving. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9 to 16, this is the account of the widow of Zarephath. You can open this place and read when you get home. Elijah got into town and God said, go to Zarephath. I have prepared somebody for you who will feed you during the period of famine. In verse 16, let me read. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto Elijah. So imagine somebody just showed up at your doorstep and said, the last meal you have, prepare it and give it to me. I want to eat because I'm hungry. How would you feel? You feel this is a very insensitive human being. I'm telling you, this is the last thing I have for me and my child to eat and die. And you are saying you are the priority. Give it to me. But giving unlocks the doors of blessings. Givers never lack, and they can never be stranded. Givers never lack, and they can never be stranded. Giving makes peace and overcome evil. When you give, you give your time, you give your resources, you give your all. Even the person that wants to harm you will think twice. Will say, why do I want to harm this person? This person is a natural giver. When you give, people will love you. When you give, people will rally around you. When you give your time, you give your resources, don't say, I don't have. There are many things you can give. There are many services in the house of God that you can partake in. So there are many things you can do for God. God dwells in the praises of men. Thanksgiving. How well do you praise God? When you approach God, do you just go to him and start complaining? God, why is it that I was not promoted? Why is it that it was that person that was promoted? You are always complaining. You never had a reason to thank him. Millions of people died because of COVID-19. Do you think you are far better than them? Do you think you have more immunity than them? Do you think you are more solid than all the people that died? If people with billions of naira could die, Paul Cowell, the man that died in America recently, 84 years old, one of the black generals, he just died of COVID-19 complications. This is a top person in the United States of America. So do you think you are better than the people that died? Do you think you are better? You are traveling, you had an accident, your car somersaulted, and you came out unscratched. Do you think you are better? Do you think it is by your power? Do you think it is by your grace? No. Give thanks to God. In all things, give thanks. These are some of the little things, kingdom secrets that we neglect, that makes our lives look so difficult, that makes it look like God does not answer prayer, because we've neglected some of the things that we're supposed to do. Lastly, I will talk about prayer. Prayer, prayer. You can never overemphasize the importance of prayer. When you approach God, don't be the person that complains. Don't be the person that whines. You are going to God and then you are complaining. God, why is my life like this? Always complaining. Give thanks approaching God's table. Give thanks to him. Thank him for life. The fact that you are still alive, you are living, it is giving thanks to God. Declare his words. Declare God's words. God is always happy. Express his promises. There are so many things God has said in his word. There are so many promises. Meditate and listen. Meditate and listen. Don't be Asoromagbe's radio. When you talk to God, give God time to also talk back to you. So pray in the spirit. And I said in his word, God said in his word, he said, come now, let us reason together. Plead your case so you can be justified. So are you pleading your case with God? Are you reasoning with God? The confidence we have in him is that when we call upon his name according to his will, he does what? He hears us. He promised not to allow us to be tempted beyond what our faith or our capacity can carry. He is faithful that he has promised it, and he will also fulfill it. Ask and you shall what? According to his word. That is what God said. If you give good gifts, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more God? Don't you think God can give you good gifts? Are healed. Stripes, we are healed. Because there is balm in Gilead. God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Only if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to that mountain, move, and it shall move. So let us not neglect this kingdom secret for us to live a life of success. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name.